Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning is from our Gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." This is our text. Have you ever wished you could have been there on that mountaintop to see what those three men saw? To experience that. That was an amazing event, an amazing moment in their lives. It was proof to them that Jesus is who he claimed to be, God in the flesh, who had come to save his people from their sins. There on that mountaintop, Jesus shone with some of the glory that was his from all eternity. There was a reason why the disciples needed to be there on that mountaintop and catch that glimpse of Jesus in his glory. Jesus had just finished telling them what was going to happen to him when they got to Jerusalem. He said, "When we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of my enemies. Their religious leaders are going to condemn me to death, and I will die on a cross. But 3 days later, I will rise to life again." He knew that that's not what the disciples were expecting to happen when they went to Jerusalem. The disciples were thinking, "This is going to be a glorious trip, a glorious time when we get to Jerusalem. It's going to be glorious for Jesus. And it's going to be a glorious time for us too." They were expecting great things to happen. Jesus would become the king. They would be members of his court. But Jesus had just told them, "That's not the way it's going to be when we get there." So those men were going to have to be prepared for the things that were about to happen when they got to Jerusalem. On that mountaintop, they needed to see that glory that was Jesus's. They needed that assurance that even though things were not going to go as they expected them to go, what was going to happen in Jerusalem was indeed God's will and God's plan for Jesus and for them. And God's plan was going to be accomplished in spite of what they might think. That transfiguration event was a sign to them that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And he had indeed come and will accomplish the salvation of all people. To drive that point home, Moses and Elijah appear with him on the mountaintop. They are there as representatives of the law and the prophets. They're standing there with Jesus. Luke tells us in his account of this event that they're talking with Jesus about God's plan of salvation for the world. And Peter and James and John see and hear everything that's going on. They're just totally overwhelmed. Peter decides, "I'd like this to last for a long time. So Lord, let me put up three tents, three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And we can stay here and bask in this glorious scene for a long time." And as he's laying out his dream for what will happen, a bright cloud envelops them. And a voice comes out of the cloud and declares, "This is my son. This is my son, whom I love and whom I delight in. Listen to him." Listen to Jesus. The words he says to you are true. you can believe everything that he says to you. You can trust everything he says to you, even if at first it's not what you might expect to happen. Because he is here to accomplish my plan for salvation. Jesus must suffer and die. But he will rise to life again in 3 days. And by his life, death, and resurrection, there will be forgiveness, life, and salvation for all people. Well, that's all just too much for them. Terrified, they fall to the ground. But as quickly as it all began, just as quickly it ends. And all of a sudden, there is only Jesus there. And he reaches down and touches them and says, "Don't be afraid." The law, with its demands and requirements, is fulfilled. Soon, the suffering and death will be completed. Soon, the tomb will be empty. Soon, the fight will be over, and the victory will be secured. You only need to listen to the words that I speak to you. How important that scene and those words were for those men as they faced the events in Jerusalem. But what took place on that mountaintop was not just for Peter, James, and John. It was also for Jesus. Can you imagine the source of strength that must have been for him as he went through all the trials and the sufferings that were soon to come his way? And even when his father turned his back on his only son as he hung dying on the cross, what comfort must have still filled his heart as he remembered those words on the mountaintop. "You are my beloved son." Jesus then gives them this instruction in verse 9. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Peter, James, and John, I'm sure at this point, didn't fully comprehend all that they had seen and heard up there on that mountaintop. And you can imagine, even if they had attempted to tell the others the things they had heard and seen, nobody would have believed them. It was going to take something so big, so important, so wonderful, that it would take a resurrection-type event to put all of what they had seen and heard up there into its proper perspective. Let's go back to Peter for a minute. Peter gets all caught up in the excitement of what was happening. Like we said, he was so overwhelmed that he wants to build those tabernacles. He wants to stay up there with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. But it was not to be so. As good as it was up there on the mountaintop, they all had to come down from the mountain. And they had to come down because there was work for all of them to do down in the valley. For Jesus, there was that trip to Jerusalem. He has set his face to Jerusalem. He is going to go there. Why? He came. He knew the cross was waiting for him. He knew what that was going to involve. He knew what that meant for him and for all people. He had to go there. Peter, James, and John also had work to do down in the valley. They had to see what was going to happen in Jerusalem. They had to understand. They had to even yet wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon them, because they were going to have to take this new faith and share it with the whole world So they couldn't stay on the mountaintop. They had to come down because there was work for them to do down in the valley. So what does this transfiguration event mean for you and I here today? What does it have to say to us? What does Jesus want us to learn about what we need to be doing now that we too have seen our Lord transfigured? One thing it tells us is that there is a time when God calls us first to go up to the mountain to be alone with Him. It's important that we have that time alone with Him. There are some things He wants us to see, some things He wants us to hear, some things He wants us to know. And when we go up there on that mountaintop with Him, it's kind of like we're alone with Him, out of the world, just in a place where we can focus our attention on Him, a place where we can go to find rest and peace, a place where we can go to be encouraged and strengthened. There on that mountaintop, we are given a glimpse of the glory of our God, and we are reminded of who He really is. Where is that mountaintop? Where can we go to find that time to be alone with Jesus? Actually, it's right here, in this sanctuary, in these worship services. When we have communion, when we sit down together around His Word, to dig into it, to learn from it. It's here when we have our Christian fellowship with one another. Don't sell this time short. This is the place, this is the house where the glory of God dwells. And when we are here, we are with Him. When we are here is when we hear Him speak to us. When we are here, it's what's so important that we listen to the words that He has to share with us. Words that we hear and speak to us in the lessons, in the hymns that we sing, in the liturgy that we use, and even in the sermons. It's here when we gather together for fellowship. It's here when we gather together for prayer, when we lay our petitions to the throne of grace, knowing that our God hears every one of them and will answer them all for us in the best way possible. It is here when we sing our hymns of praise that He speaks to us. It is here when we receive the body and blood of our Lord in the sacrament of Holy Communion, where He assures us and reassures us that we are indeed His forgiven children forever. Every time we come here, we have just spent a long, hard week out in the world. And we need to be back here so that we can be refreshed and uplifted and encouraged and strengthened and equipped, because we're going to have to come down from this mountain and go back out into life in that world again. It is so important that we be here. That's why God calls this the Sabbath day, why He made it a commandment. He knew how important this day would be for us. He sanctified this day. He knew that we would need everything that we can get here from Him so that we're prepared for life out there. He knew how difficult life in the valley is going to be. So He wants us to be here on this mountaintop to recharge our spiritual batteries. Don't you think He would rather have us here with Him all the time? But He knows that there's work to be done out there. He needs to know we're equipped for that time. So just like he sent the first disciples back down the mountain and out into the world, so he also continues to send his disciples down the mountain and out into the world. He knows how important that is. He sends us down into the valley because he knows that there's a whole bunch of people out there in the world who are living and dying out there in this world who don't have any hope, who have no real peace, no real joy, who live with no sense of forgiveness and no hope of salvation. There are so many people living out there in the world who don't know the good news of great joy, who don't know of the forgiveness, life, and salvation that is theirs by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. So we come down from the valley, or down from the mountaintop, because there's work for us to do out in the valley. The faith must be shared. The kingdom of God must be extended. Today, God has called us to the mountaintop to be alone with Him, to listen to Him, to come to know Him better, to grow in grace and knowledge, to be built up and strengthened in our faith through worship and communion and prayer and Bible study and fellowship. Lord, it is so good for us to be here. There's no better place in this world than for us to be right here, together with our Lord and Savior. Here we are with the Lord. Here we listen to His word. But He also says to us, it's time for us to go down into the valley, because there's so many out there who don't know. So many who still need to believe. And He has equipped us to be the light of life to the people who still are living in darkness. May God so fill us with the strength of His Spirit that we become those bold witnesses that the world needs to hear today. Because the time seems to be getting shorter and shorter, and the days get darker and darker. And for those of us who have been on the mountaintop, it's time to share the glimpse of glory that God has given us. Amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.